Shalom to all. Today's daf is Yerushalmi Shabbos daf Pe'alf, and we're starting the top line with the words Amar Rabbi Yechonon and Vilnsur's daf. It's on Samach Vav Amar Aleph, about halfway through. And today's daf is sponsored by Lili Nishmas, March Mem Sar Basim Yaakov Moshe. Her neshama should have an aliyah. Now the Mishnah had stated that if there's a stone or Choli Sabar that's 10 tefachim high by 4 tefachim wide in the Rishus Rabbim, and one places on it or takes off of it, he's chayv because that's two different Rishuyas. But Paches Mikan Pater, and we discussed what Paches Mikan meant. Now the Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Yechonon says, Leskan Pater El Mutter. Don't say that he's Pater, which means it's Aser to do, but if he does, he's Pater. Actually, the proper gear says that it's mutter. Lichatchila, he's 100% allowed to put something on it and take it off because we're talking about something that's 10 tefachim high, just not 4 tefachim wide, and that makes it a makom ptur, so he's allowed to put on and take off of it. Now we're going to have other statements where Rabbi Yechonon said mutter instead of pater. Taman Tanin over there in Maseches Edius, we have a Mishnah that says, Hamapis Mursa B'Shabbos, someone who pops a blister or a boil on Shabbos, im lasis la peh chayev, if he's trying to make a mouth for it, meaning he's trying to create an opening so that all the pus can come out and that any pus that gets generated afterwards will have a place to go out and also the air will come in and will be able to heal faster, so then chayiv, he's going to be chayiv because that's baina, he's making a pesach, he's making an opening. Whereas in lohaytzi menu l'alecha, pater, if all he's trying to do is take out the pus that's there, but he's not trying to create an opening, so then he's pater. And Rabbi Yechon says, leskan pater, don't be gar as pater, el mutter, be gar as that it's 100% mutter, and that's because of tsar. He has his boil or his blister that's causing him pain, so he's allowed to do this l'chatchila. And Taman Tanin over there in the very same Mishnah that says, hatzon nachash b'shabbos, if someone traps a snake on Shabbos, we know that tzad is one of 39 malachas. So im mesasek shalei shechenu, pater. If he's just trying to work with it so it doesn't bite him, he's pater. Whereas Imler Fua, Chayev. If he wants it for a Fua, he wants to take out its venom and use it for medicine or something like that, so then he's going to be Chayev. And Amar Bechanan, this as well. Bechanan said, Leskan pater el mutter. Don't say pater, say mutter. Because if a snake is trying to bite you, that's dangerous, and therefore, l'chatchila, you're allowed to trap it. Now the Gemara just quotes the end of that Mishnah, even though it's not really relevant for our discussion. Taman Tanin over there, the Mishnah says, Va'al l'fasim yironios, in regards to pots of villagers, what they used to do was take a big ball of clay, make it hollow in the middle, bake it in the oven, so now it's basically a big hollow earthenware ball, and then they would cut it in half, and voila, you have two pots. So while it's still in its completely circular ball shape, hollow in the middle, before it was cut out, the Mishnah tells us, Shehin tahiris ba'ayla mace, they're tahir in ayla mace, meaning if they're in the same room or the same building as a mace, they're not tameh, because the pasuk says specifically in regards to earthenware kalim that they can only become tameh from inside, but there's no inside of this kli because it's completely sealed, therefore it's not tameh, or zutmeis masazov, it is tameh if a zav touches it or carries it, and that's because it is still considered a kli. And now Amar Bzer, Bzer tells us, V'yos, this is true, meaning where Rabbi Yechon had said that don't be gairas pater, rather mutter, that's correct, because later on in our Masechta, we talk about Sod trapping, and it says, Im l'tzayrech, if he does it for tzayrech, if he needs the snake, or if he needs the thing that he's trapping, so then he's chayiv. Adad Taninon, that's the very same thing that we learned in the Mishnah in Edios, Im l'rafua chayiv, that if he trapped a snake for rafua, so he's chayiv, and have a leskan pater el mutter. That means if he's doing it shalai l'tzayrech, he doesn't need it, it's not just that he's pater, rather that it's mutter. We continue talking about Zarek that we had started in the previous Mishnayas, Hazark Arba Amos Bekaisel, if a person throws something, Dalet Amos in Rosh Hasarabim, and it lands on a wall. Now we're going to see in the Gemara that we're talking about something sticky. So let's say he had a nice juicy ball of sticky figs, and he threw it Dalet Amos, and it landed on the face of a wall, on the side of it. So Lamal Masar Tvachim, if it landed above 10 Tvachim, Kazark Ba'avir, it's like he's throwing in the air. We know that more than 10 Tvachim above Rosh Hasarabim is considered Makam Ptur, so he's not Chayev. However, Lamat Masar Tvachim, Kazark Ba'aretz, if it landed on the side of the wall, below 10 Tvachim, so it's like he threw it on the ground, and it's like he threw Dalet Amos in Rosh Hasarabim, so he'd be Chayev. And Vazark Ba'aretz, Arba Amos, Chayev. Somebody throws Dalet Amos in Rosh Hasarabim and it lands on the ground, he's Chayev. And over here as well, since it landed within 10 Tvachim of the ground, he's Chayev for throwing Dalet Amos in Rosh Hasarabim. Now let's say Zark Lusach Arba Amos, he threw it so that it should land within Dalet Amos of him, but then when it's Galgal Chosla Arba Amos, it rolled to outside of Arba Amos, and that's where it rested. Potter, he's Potter. And it's the same thing the other way around. Chosla Arba Amos, when it's Galgal Lusach Arba Amos, Chayev. If he threw it for it to go more than Dalet Amos, and then it rolled to within Dalet Amos, he's still Chayev. And the chiddush of both of these cases is that we don't say, since soifail his galgal, since it's going to end up rolling, then we view it where its final destination is, we don't do that. And we're explaining this in greater detail in the Gemara. So now the Gemara clarifies the beginning of the Mishnah, Masnisa b'she'ein shamchar. Our Mishnah is talking about where he threw the sticky thing onto the wall, and there wasn't a hole, meaning it didn't rest inside a hole in the wall. Avalim yesh shamchar, but if it rested inside a hole in the wall, so then machlekes Rav Meir HaChamim, that's going to be subject to machlekes Rav Meir HaChamim. They have machlekes regarding mezuzah, if a doorway isn't the requisite height and width to be mechayv mezuzah, but there's a possibility to chisel out more from the wall and enlarge it to be the correct size. Rav Meir's mechayv it in mezuzah now because it's keman dechakuk dami. This is called chakik in lahashlim, that we theoretically in our mind imagine as if it was ready chakuk, as if it was ready chiseled out and made the proper size, and therefore even though it wasn't physically done yet, still it's chayv in mezuzah. Whereas Abban argue that in chakik in lahashlim we don't imagine as if it's been chiseled out, and since the doorway is not the proper size, it's not chayv in mezuzah. So now bring this machlekes to our hole in the wall that the sticky thing that he threw rests cast it inside. Whether or not the hole that this thing rested in was 4x4 tfachim, you view the wall as if it's been chiseled out, meaning you view it as if the hole is 4x4 tfachim, because the wall is thick enough to be able to have a hole that's 4x4 tfachim, and then it's as if he threw it into a shusha yachid. And therefore, even in the first case, where he threw it above 10 tfachim, since again, if it rested in a hole, and we say chaykin lahashan according to a mayor, therefore, it's as if it landed on something that's 10x4, and 10x4 is a shusha yachid, so he's going to be chayiv for that, not pater, whereas aldat and drabanon, according to drabanon, it's only miyash bayar balaba, if it rested in a hole that's 4x4 tfachim, so then atru aysa kaisel kigamom. You view the wall as if it's been chiseled out, you don't have to view it as if it's been chiseled out, it already has its proper size, and then the person's going to be chayiv from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, but if the hole itself is not 4x4, you don't view the wall as if it's been chiseled out, and therefore the guy's going to be putter because it landed more than 10 tfachim above the Rosh Hashanah. Rather, you view it as closed. Now the Gemara addresses something that we already know because we've been talking about it the whole time, but it's asking it as a question, why is it that the person would be chayiv for throwing something on the wall in the first place? It's just going to bounce off the wall and fall back. Let's say we're talking about where the wall is precisely 4 amas away from him. So he throws the object at the wall, and then it bounces off and lands to within the amas of him, so why would he be chayiv for that? And so this Chizda Amar, he answers, we're talking about a slanted wall, and therefore the object is actually able to land on the wall because it's a little bit slanted, and that's why he would be chayiv. Asking more of Ein Seif Alei Reid, isn't it eventually going to roll down? Just because it's able to rest momentarily on the slanted wall, it's still going to roll down into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so he shouldn't be chayiv. On this, Rav Chiya says, B'Shem Rabbi Yechonon, Tifter, we can explain as follows, that it was a sticky fig cake, v'hini tucha, and therefore it sticks onto the wall, and it's not going to roll down. And that's how we've been explaining it the entire time. Here the Gemara just speaks it out b'feirish, that we're talking about this sticky fig cake, which won't fall off of the wall. Now the Gemara brings up a Mishnah in Gemara Maseches Kalayim, and asks a question from our Mishnah on that Gemara. Over there, Mishnah discusses that if one has an individual grapevine, he has to plant other minim 6 tfachim away from it. But if he has a kerem, a full vineyard, he needs to plant 4 amos away. Now what is a kerem? So it's characterized by 2 rows of vines. However, says the Mishnah, let's say there's 1 row of vines on the regular level part of the field, but then there's a step, there's an elevation in the field that's 10 tfachim, and there's another row of vines over there. In this case, it's not considered a kerem because there's this 10 tfachim distance in between the rows of vines. And the Gemara discusses what that means there's 10 tfachim. Does it mean that the madrega, this elevation, is 10 tfachim high, or does that mean that there's physically 10 tfachim of space in between the rows of vines? And one of the tzadim of the Gemara is that the madrega itself, this elevation, is 10 tfachim above the main part of the field, and therefore it's considered its own rishos, it's its own unique place, and therefore, even if the vines themselves are actually within 10 tfachim of each other, which would mean that the second row of vines is planted all the way at the bottom of this elevation, nonetheless, since the elevation itself, this madrega, is 10 tfachim high, it's considered a totally separate rishos, and we can't combine these 2 rows of vines to be considered a kerem. So I think Mar tells us, Rav Chagai ba kumi Rav Yosef, Rav Chagai asked in front of Rav Yosef, lesa da amra, doesn't Rav Yosef tell us that shipu madrega kilamaton, then we have a slant of madrega, that's like below? We just said that our wall that the sticky fig cake was thrown onto was slanted, and if the fig cake landed on a part of the wall that's within 10 tfachim of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he's chayiv for throwing dahad amos in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. As that clearly tells us that even though the wall is a separate entity, it's a totally different thing than the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, nonetheless, as long as the item is within 10 tfachim of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's considered like it's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and not in this separate entity, not on the madrega, not on the wall. So why don't we apply this svara to the Gemara in Kilayim that even if this elevation that the second row of vines is planted in is 10 tfachim high, that doesn't make a difference. As long as the 2 rows of vines are within 10 tfachim of each other, they should combine to be a kerem. So Rabbi Yosef responds to Rav Chagai, Taman over there, Zroim Nenim in a Madrega. That which is planted inside this elevation, they benefit from the dirt of the Madrega of the elevation. And therefore, even if the 2 rows of vines are within 10 tfachim of each other, since it's planted on the Madrega on the elevation, which is a totally separate area, and that's where it's deriving its nourishment from, they're considered like 2 separate things. From Hacha over here, Derech Menadim Lias Shafin Ba, people are going to walk by this wall and rub against it, Vihinai Feles, and the sticky fig cake will eventually fall down. Yes, it's stuck on the wall right now and it's going to be there for a long time, but eventually people are going to walk by it and knock it off, and at the end of the day, it will be in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, therefore we already consider it to be in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim now, again, as long as it's within 10 tfachim of the airspace of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Whereas Ilu Amar Kshahaya Sham Char, Vihin Nenis Min Achar, Kishem Shazraim Nenim Min Amadrega, Yos, if you would have said over there, meaning if the case of our Mishnah would have been that the thing was thrown onto the wall and it landed in a hole in the wall, so that would be similar to the case of the Mishnah over there, where the Zraim, these grapevines, are benefiting from the Madrega, and then we'd be able to line them up and perhaps compare them. But since our Mishnah is not talking about that, therefore we can't compare our Mishnah and that Mishnah over there. Now we go to the next case of Mishnah where he had thrown it to land within Dalad Amis, then it rolled more than Dalad Amis away from him, he's Potter. And Rabbi Yisrael Kotorvo says, Rabbi Yechanon, Pshaya Makon Mundroin, we're talking about where this area that he threw the object was sloped, and the reason why he's Potter is because he only threw it strong enough to go within 4 Amis of him, which is not going to be Machai of him, and it ended up rolling on its own due to the slope that it landed landed on, and that's why it went out of Dalet Amos, so he's not Chayev. But yes, if he threw it with strength, that it definitely would have landed out of Dalet Amos, he would have been Chayev. Now, based off this, the Gemara asks, with this explanation, does the next case of our Mishnah make sense that if he threw it to go outside of Dalet Amos and then it rolls into Dalet Amos, he's Chayev? Why would he be Chayev in that case? If he knew for sure that it was going to roll back to within Dalet Amos, so why would he be Chayev for that? It eventually was going to roll there and rest within Dalet Amos, so he should be Potter. And so this is also Rav Chizkiya came and he quoted Rav Avohu, who said, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, V'hisha Nacha. It's referring to where it rested a little bit. It's not that he threw the object and it just continued rolling out or rolled back to him automatically. He threw it, it rested just a little bit and then continued rolling. So that's why when it lands within Dalet Amos of him and then continues rolling, so it already rested within Dalet Amos and he's Potter. And by the same token, the opposite, when he throws it more than Dalet Amos and it rests momentarily, that's Hanacha beyond Dalet Amos and he's Chayiv. And just because it rolls back towards him and its final resting place is within Dalet Amos of him, he's not going to be Potter. And moving on to Halacha Dalet, we continue discussing Zayrek, one who throws. The Mishnah says, Hazark Biyam Arba Amos Potter. Somebody throws 4 Amos in the sea, he's Potter because the sea is a Carmelist. Something similar, Im Hayu Rakak Maim Rosh Hashram Halechas Bay. Let's say there's a big puddle of water, but the Rosh Hashram still goes through it. Let's say there was a lot of flooding, or there's an area right near the sea where there's an inlet of water that actually goes into the Rosh Hashrabim. But the key over here is that the Rosh Hashrabim still goes through this puddle of water. Hazark Besach Arba Amos Chayev. If a person throws Dalet Amos into it, he's Chayev because not considered a Carmelist as part of the Rosh Hashrabim. The question is, how much is this puddle of water allowed to be that it's still considered part of the Shusrabim? Pachos Masar Tvachim, less than 10 Tvachim. That means less than 10 Tvachim of depth. Now the Mishnah repeats itself. Now the Gemara explains the first din. It's not ultimately that the Mishnah is telling us that if you throw Dalet Amos in the sea, you're Potter, but if you throw more than Dalet Amos, you're Chayiv. Ela filu zark b'chol hayam Potter. Even if a guy has a great arm and he manages to throw something across the entire ocean, he's still Potter. Shekol hayam nikar Carmelis. The whole sea is called a Carmelis, and therefore, no matter what the distance is, he's still Potter because it's a Carmelis. Now the Gemara asks, why does the Mishnah repeat the same din twice? Why does it have to repeat itself? That if we have his Rakak Mayim and the Rosh Hashram goes through it, a guy who throws Dalet Amos into it is Chayiv. And the answer is, Chanina says, B'shem Pinchas, B'shem Shnei Rakakin. The second time, the Mishnah is referring to a case where there's actually two different puddles or two different parts of water in the Rosh Hashrabim. Echad Rab Mahalchin Bayv, Echad Ein Rab Mahalchin Bayv, El Kashen Nidchakin. One, the Rabim goes through no problem. The other one, the Rabim don't go through unless they really need to, unless they're pressured and they have to, then they'll go through it. And the Chiddush is, Shaloi Toimar, don't say, Pei Bei Zaman Alpha on top. Ein Rab Mahalchin Bayv, El Kashen Nidchakin. Since the Rabim don't go through it, except if they really have to, and Rosh Hashrabim or Rosh Hashayachid, it's not considered Rosh Hashrabim, rather it's really Rosh Hashayachid, Lufum Kin Sarach Meim, Rosh Hashrabim, who therefore the Mishnah has to say that no, even though people only go through there, B'Shas Adchak, nonetheless, it's still considered Rosh Hashrabim. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with Halacha Hey, continue to discuss. Somebody throws an object. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.